Hi.
Hi, everyone.
And welcome to
The Joe Project. The Joe Project exists to equip everyday people with faith-based mental health education. Hi, Valerie.
Hello.
I would ask you, how are you? But I don't feel like asking it this week.
You already know how I feel.
I already know how you feel.
I already know how you feel.
You already know how I feel.
This topic is very interesting regarding how we feel.
But the people don't know how we feel. I mean, for context, I mean, y'all know that we started our business. And we're excited to meet y'all at different workshops that we're producing, as well as, you know, other things that we have in the works. But starting a business is hard. And I'm not saying that to, you know, say, oh, it's not something that I expected. I definitely knew that, you know, being an entrepreneur is difficult. But, you know, it's difficult. That's all we're saying. But we are back again, and I'm glad to be here, at least. Yeah. So do you want to say anything or?
No.
Oh, man. You know what? Today was stressful, mostly because my stress level really went up around when we were talking to our tax man. So it's tax season, and we're not just boo, tomato. It's tax season, and we want to be good stewards of what God has given us. So, you know, we have somebody who does our taxes for us. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the same guy is going to help us do our business taxes as well. And we were talking about, like, just the business and stuff. And Valerie is the money person. Christopher is the creative person, right? So when it comes to, like, plugging in things, when it comes to putting the lights up, when it comes to music background and what we're doing on social media, no problem for me. Can be a little frustrating, but no problem for me. And Valerie's like, not my circus, not my monkeys. Keep me out of it, right? The same thing is in reverse when it comes to administration, organization, and the dreaded money. It's very stressful. Would you agree?
I mean, it's stressful for me as well. I guess I have just a higher capacity for it.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, creative stuff for me, I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And you're just like, more ideas. Yeah.
Well, I like ideas. And I'm not saying that you like money, but you, like you said, you have more of a whatever for it. So that made me think of something that we have coming up on March 8th.
Interesting segue.
You like that segue? You know? Because the workshop, we're going to be teaching the workshop, but the workshop is for me, really. On March 8th, we are holding our Mental Health and the Gospel Trauma and Stress Workshop. Woo! Oh my God, I'm so excited. Yay! It's going to be virtual, so if you want to join us and learn a little bit more about how trauma and stress can manifest in your life, but then also what we can do in terms of self-care, in terms of mental wellness, and then what we can do according to what the Word of God says, that you don't want to miss March 8th at 7 p.m. That is a Friday, mm-hmm. Right? Don't go to the club on Friday. Come and get your mind right. Ooh, that was a word for somebody. Get your mind right. Get your mind right. Lift your hands right there. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You can check it out on our website, thejoeproject.co/trauma-stress. You can find tickets to the thingy there. And if you want a promo code, then you can join our mailing list, because the promo code goes out every week until the workshop. Anything else you want to say about the workshop? I know that you're excited.
I'm very excited about it. I love workshops. I love interacting with people. So you're wondering, how do I know if I should be on this workshop?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
If you deal with stress, especially chronic stress, whether from work, racism, sexism, systemic racism, all of the things, right?
I love how you started at work and went right down to
racism. Yeah, because it's real. So if you're somebody who has to navigate constant ongoing stress, this is the workshop for you.
Yes, it is.
If you are somebody who has experienced what they have called little t trauma, this is for you.
Yes.
If you have experienced what they call big T trauma,
oh,
this is for you. Again, if you are having to navigate triggers. So let's say maybe you haven't endured what would be like a trauma, or maybe you don't know that it's a trauma, but you find yourself in situations that kind of take you right back to other times where you felt really stressed and out of control and were being hurt emotionally, physically, psychologically. And that's still a struggle for you. Mm-hmm. This is the workshop for you.
Yes.
So definitely. All to say, please be there or be square.
Yeah, you don't want to be a square. You want to be a circle. You want to be a triangle. That's 3 points for the Father, Son, and the Holy.
Not him getting churchy.
My God.
But also, should we expect anything else from Christopher?
Absolutely not. That's who I am. It's who I am. All right.
That song, Lord Have Mercy. Okay.
Let's get into this episode. I wrote this one because it's about music, more or less. It's actually not about music.
Because I was going to say, worship is not necessarily just music.
I know. So, I started this episode, and when I was writing it, I actually don't know what the name of the episode is going to be when I put it up, but when I wrote the episode, I thought of something that you have been saying at least since we've been together, right?
I have a habit of coining terms because I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah,
and you'd be like, I'm going to steal that forever. And I'm okay.
Well, I stole this forever. And it's this phrase. It's called Praise God on Credit, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Marvin Sapp fan, then you'll know the song Praise Him in Advance. I was just thinking about what the effect of like worship and praise is for those who are struggling with their mental health. So I'll give you a little bit of background, though. So you know me. Y'all know me. And if you don't, hi, my name is Chris, and I'm a worship leader. And I've worship led when I was depressed. And I've worship led when I was chilling. You know, I was out here in these streets, getting married, all of that stuff. And I think one thing that has been fairly consistent in terms of at least my musical life is that when I am singing songs to and about the Lord, generally, it's a good time, right? There is some kind of relief that happens when I'm in the presence of God and the music is happening. Whether or not it's a full band or if it's just a dude in the corner with his guitar, like there are different songs and different just words that are coming up in the music that really help me encounter the Lord even in the midst of whatever it is I'm struggling with. And I was like, I don't know why that is, right? Because in my head, I wanted to over-spiritualize it. I wanted to just be like, God is showing up, which he is, right? But I did some research.
Ooh.
And I found some stuff.
Ooh, tell us.
So before we do that, could you tell me a little bit why you, where the phrase... Talk to me for a little bit about the phrase praise God on credit and where it came from for you.
So credit cards, right? So I think what I was coming to terms with, I used my credit card anticipating majority of the time. Sometimes it'd be hard. You use a credit card because you're like, I got to find a way to pay for this and eventually get paid off. But essentially, it is this premise of I'm using this resource anticipating that what I have to do to kind of pay it back,
mm-hmm.
or to find the substance with which I'm using this resource, right? The credit card, I don't count it as money. It's debt.
That's literally what it is. Yeah.
Right. So it's, you feel like it's coming outside of you. It's an outside source. Right. And you put it on and you're like, all right, I'm going to put this here to cover where I am right now. But I anticipate that further down the line, I'm going to be able to match where this specific purchase is.
Yeah.
And so when I thought about praising God, I think it was in a season where I was pretty low. I was like, well, sometimes some of these songs that we sing during worship, and I would even, you know, add it to like your prayer life or being with community, because those are all forms of worship. You know, our life is worship, right? There were times where I didn't, I struggled to believe the things I was reading. I struggled to believe the things that I was encouraged to pray. I was not fully believing the prayers other people prayed over me. Mm-hmm. And as a result, I just had to trust God. I feel like I don't have the currency with which to like pay mm-hmm. or to give. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking you to give me what it is I need to, I don't know how to say pay it forward or like to actually mean it. Mm-hmm. Like I realize, God, I don't believe it right now, but because you're good and because you are a giver, and you give us the ability to worship you in spirit and in truth, then I'm going to trust that your spirit will help me get to that point.
Yeah.
Where I'm able to sing this song, pray this prayer, believe this truth about you at some point.
Yeah.
Even if it's not right now. So if it's not right now, I got to borrow mm-hmm. something mm-hmm. from somebody or from ultimately the Lord.
Yeah.
But I would argue with prayer, or you're struggling with your life, you borrow it from friends and yeah. people that you're close to. So it's kind of in that same vein. It's like, I don't got it right now, but I'm going to trust the Lord, going to pay it yeah. over time, and I'll be able to use my debit card next time because it'll be there. Like the reservoir of spirit of faith. I don't know. I don't mm-hmm. know what the term is. I kind of made it up, and then I kind of just left it there. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people that I like think about something, and I'm like, I get it. Mm-hmm. But then when people ask me to explain it, I'm like, I don't know how to make sense of this. I just get it.
It's,
you know,
it's funny because when you
but does
when,
that make sense?
I think it makes sense. I think when I the first time I heard you say it, I was thinking about the fact that like kind of like you were saying, you know, we're thinking of it in terms of debt, but I actually wasn't thinking of it quite like that. You know, like an actual credit card. It was more of a I feel like it's this weird intersection of like knowing what is true and struggling to believe it in the moment, right? But choosing to believe it based off of what you know, right? So for example, we're going to go into the scripture in a little bit. But like we see scriptures that talk about the goodness of God, and we see his resume, and we see all of these things all throughout the Bible right here. As Christians, we're sitting here like, yo, in the midst of my depression, in the midst of my OCD, in the midst of my anxiety, I'm believing that God is good. And it doesn't feel good right now, but I'm going to worship as if he's being good right now, even though it doesn't feel like it. And I don't know. I feel like God really, really honors that.
It's honest.
Yeah. And I think that's the piece that I specifically wanted to talk to. I think that, I'm actually thinking of like the church that I grew up in with other like West Indians and other Black Christians, and especially millennials like us growing up in these spaces where it's like God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, right? You're not allowed to feel like, you know, you're stressed out or whatever, right? You might be coming into a church building during worship and you're like, yo, this is hard and I'm struggling to believe this. And with that belief comes guilt and shame, right? I've walked into church so many times where depression was really, really high, right, in my body. And it's time for worship and we're singing, Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. And I don't feel that.
Showing off.
Shush.
Yeah, but you don't feel that. Yeah.
But I don't feel that. But here's the thing. At the time, this was like maybe 4 or 5 years ago. At the time, I believed that that was something to be ashamed of. And I felt guilty for coming into the presence of God and singing songs and basically being dishonest, right? But I love the fact...
you don't like that.
I don't like that. I don't like dishonesty, right? But I also believe that God gives us an opportunity to sing these songs, sing these psalms, sing these hymns that may not one-to-one line up with what we're going through right now, but it's just an opportunity to be in his presence. Now, we're going to talk about why that is important later, but the reason why we wanted to do this episode for you, don't know who you are, but you, is because we want to break that stigma of guilt and shame. You can go into church on Sunday and be in a crappy mood. Can I say, this is our podcast, I can say crap, right? You can go into church on Sunday and be in a crappy mood
and
try and sing, or just be in worship and just be like, God, I don't know what I got. But it's okay to come into the house of the Lord with that, right?
Yes, it
because,
is.
Because, and especially if you're somebody struggling with a mental illness, like, if I go in fully depressed, I'm talking about all the connections in my brain are like, nah, it's not happening today, right?
Got all the symptoms.
All
remember,
of the symptoms.
Because depression is not just sadness. We're talking about symptoms.
We're talking about symptoms. We're talking about
clinical.
Fatigue.
We're talking about
brain
lack of
fog,
function.
Lack of function, all of that. If I'm coming into church like that, first of all, I made it to church. So shout out to me. Right? Clap for me.
Shout
Thank
out to you.
You. Right? Shout out to you that you made it to church in the middle of OCD symptoms, right? You made it to church even though you skipped your meds this week for some reason, or you're out of meds, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. right? But the fact that you are struggling with your symptoms, I want to break that idea that there is something to be ashamed of by coming into the presence of God and being anything less than happy. You can be broken at church, right? You can be struggling with your symptoms at church. You can be somebody who is fighting the urge to just break down in tears at church while the fast songs are going in the middle of the sermon, right? Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself.
It's okay.
I'm very,
very passionate.
Very passionate. I wanted to talk to you about the science of worship.
I know, you just learned some stuff recently.
I did just learn some stuff. Okay, so first of all, there is a neuroscientist by the name of Dr. Caroline Leaf, L-E-A-F. I'm going to link her stuff down in the show notes and the description. But she did a talk called Worship in the Brain, and she dug into a lot of really good stuff, but there was one particular thing I wanted to, that jumped out at me, right? So I'm going to get neuroscience-y here, and if there's any neuroscientist or like brain scientist in our community, feel free to correct me. I am easily correctable. Okay. So your brain produces something called gamma waves, right? And gamma waves are something that comes up when you are focused or actively involved in solving a problem, right?
Interesting.
And gamma waves help you process information,
interesting,
right?
Interesting.
So they're very important for the process of information and all of that stuff, right? Research shows that this gamma wave, this oscillation of waves in your brain, can actually be induced, right? So you don't have to just be like, let me go find myself some intense focus, right? One way that you can do that is through meditation. And, you know, we believe in meditating on the Word of God through prayer, through sitting in silence, through all of that stuff, through journaling. And it can come up in worship, too. So, like, when you're sitting in church and the songs are going, and you can't sing, and you're struggling, right? Those gamma waves can actually induce some of those things in your own brain. Now, let me talk about why it's important, though. Research also shows that there is a decreased amount of gamma waves in people struggling with depression and anxiety and OCD. Like, it actually affects some of those
trauma.
Yeah, trauma. It actually affects some of those connections in the brain. So
not
when
surprised.
Yeah, so when we look at it, like, I think about how hard it is sometimes for me to, like, when I'm really, really depressed, not just to focus, but to, like, make something, to be creative, to do new things,
wow,
to problem solve, to, yeah, all of that, right? And I love the fact that the way that God created the brain, he said, yo, when you're problem solving, this thing happens. When you're really focused on something, this thing happens. So that means when you're meditating and you're really focused on me, when you're worshiping and you're praising and you're really focused on me, when you're praying and you're really focused on me, I'm actually helping your brain process information. And it might not even be that he's helping you process information in the moment, because it's also this kind of thing where, like, the brain will do stuff to help you on like a little bit later as well. Right. Well,
I love this.
I know you love this.
Please continue.
So I just thought that was really interesting. There was one piece of research that I saw that I don't know if I can share just because I couldn't confirm it. Why? Because I went to music school and I did not go to neuro. I didn't go to brain school, right? So why are you covering your face?
You always say that.
But it's true.
As if you're not intelligent in so many other areas. But whatever. Continue.
Oh, my gosh. But basically there is talks of this neurotransmitter that helps the growth and regrowth of brain cells that is also produced during the act of worship. Again, correct me if I'm wrong, and I will go and correct myself if I need to. I'm going to do more research after this. But basically, by and large, researchers are showing a positive benefit, not just to believing in God, but like actively engaging in worship and meditation. Have you, in your journeys in Columbia and, okay, sorry, the University of Florida, and go Columbia. Gators, and Columbia.
Gotta pay respect to both, but he's a Gator.
Oh. what do you think about that, what I shared? And
I'm not surprised. I've lived it.
Tell me more.
I don't want to get ahead, but
oh.
I mean, I don't know too much about gamma waves, but I know about dopamine and serotonin,
yes,
and endorphins and all these happy chemicals that oftentimes when you're dealing with a mental health disorder, and especially when your symptoms are really bad, they tend to be on the lower side, right? Which is why we are encouraged to find ways to increase these things in whatever capacity we're able to, right? Serotonin, you try to, you know, go for a walk, talk to a friend, oxytocin, you want to connect with people, dopamine, exercise, make a really great but, you know, nutritious meal. You know, if that's a burger, have a salad on the side, you know, balance, right? Yeah. So there's something to doing something that's healthy for you and that builds you up, that tells your brain, hey, this is a really good thing that you're doing. Keep doing it.
Yeah.
And that's why I think the worship on credit thing is so important, mm-hmm. because when there is a realness about where you are, right? You don't come in trying to fake it until you make it, right? You can struggle and not fully believe the songs that you're singing, yet and still experience the positive effects of what it is to just be honest with the Lord. Lord, I'm singing Gyra. I'm being told I will be content, right? I remember you said this.
Did you know that I was going to talk about that?
No, I saw it earlier and then I forgot and then I just remembered. But let me use another example. Refiner. So that's a song we all sang and then we all were thrust into the pandemic and all these things. So I feel like that was a prophetic song.
I blame all of this on Maverick City.
Anyway, I'm getting past the point. But essentially, Refiner, now I sing it and I'm like, all right, Lord, you're doing refining and I see the good that you're doing in it. But I'll be honest, because of how it's impacted me mentally to step out on faith and trust you through the refining process, I'm sometimes hesitant to sing it with all of my soul and all of my heart and all of my mind.
Right.
Yet and still, if I really sing it, right, if I tell God, hey, God, I'm not feeling this, I'm going to need you to give me the faith to sing this and believe you through it. Then you just allow yourself to be loved and ministered to by the Lord.
Yeah.
And that inevitably does add dopamine, serotonin, and oxytocin, the closeness you feel with the Lord, the joy you feel when you sing. Because I don't know what it is about singing, whether you're good at singing or bad at singing. There's just something about releasing, mm-hmm. like the inner thoughts that you're struggling with and not having the faith and having God fill you in that moment to sing, or being able to be ministered to by somebody else who is singing. Because I think worship leaders, even though, you know, you're trying to lead the people in the song and understanding it, you're also inviting people to worship and to allow Holy Spirit to penetrate their hearts, right? So there's a lot of, like, good things that happen when you're in the middle of a worship session. Like, I'm talking about singing specifically. And so it does make sense. Like, gamma waves, dopamine, serotonin, all of these feel-good chemicals would be present when you're worshiping the Lord. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I've lived it. Nowadays, it don't take much for me to start crying about the presence of the Lord. But I think it's because I consistently was honest to the Lord about many instances where I was worshiping. And I was like, God, I don't feel it. God, I'm struggling. I don't want to sing this. I don't believe it. Or God, I know this is what you're doing, but it's hurting right now. I think just that blatant honesty and the pouring out of myself allowed myself to be an empty vessel for which for him to pour into me. And then his presence starts to fill me up. And then now I'm crying at the worship song. Just so much more aware of the good God that I actually serve. Dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, way up. So the science is giving the science.
A life of worship is a consistent act of self-care. A life of worship.
I don't know what to do.
A life of worship. And I'm not talking about, this time I'm not talking about the music.
You're talking about in general.
I'm talking about the lifestyle of worship. The lifestyle of worship is an act of self-care, right? I think about, based off of what you just said too, right? You know, whenever I talk about what worship is, you know, we always talk about how worship is a lifestyle. It's a devotion to the Lord. And then praise is just an outward expression of an inward devotion to God, right?
That's good.
If we're talking about, like, worshiping through music, we just talked about the effects of the gamma waves and the serotonin and the dopamine coming up.
Also, music has always been highlighted with positive things for people.
But that's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. Like, if you're a Christian who's struggling, I would encourage you, even if you're going to church and you're sitting in the back, like being in that space and being in that presence, right? Later on, I was going to say something about, having that personal worship playlist. And I still think that that's beneficial. And I will say it again later. But I also think this is one of the reasons why it's so beneficial to be around other people.
Yes.
And be at least a part of the community.
Yes.
Right? Because of the effects that it has on the brain. People are always talking about, I can get some of the same feelings at a concert. You pay money for a concert, first of all. Second of all, if you're a believer, this is the best place to be, right? To be getting that dopamine and serotonin. And that's just a benefit of the fact that we're giving God glory, right? So we're able to be around our brothers and sisters, and God is honoring that. Not only is God honoring that, but he's like, also, I've already set up your brain like this. This is just what's going to happen, right? But then I also think about how when we are talking about other things that have to do with self-care, whether we're talking about maintaining our budgets, like long-term self-care, maintaining our budget, going to the doctor, or if we're talking about short-term self-care, going to get your nails done, going to get a haircut, going for a walk in nature, right? All of those things, right, are also ways that we are taking care of the body and the mind that God has given us.
Absolutely.
That is meeting what the scripture says when it says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, therefore glorify God with your body. This is where we see the story of the talents, and we see like God is telling us to steward over the things that he has given us. And it's like, oh, not only am I going to steward over what he's given me by getting my nails done and by getting a haircut, but I'm going to steward by, you know, getting my diet together and buying good groceries. And in that stewardship is worship.
Absolutely.
Getting a haircut sometimes, check your budget. Getting your nails done.
Motivation.
Getting your nails done is an act of self-care, and self-care is an act of worship. So a life marked by self-care is an act of worship, and vice versa.
Whew. He's very excited today.
No, I'm really excited about this because I think so much of what churches and Christians are missing is this idea of, like, you know, always having to suffer. You know what I mean? And when I say always having to suffer, I literally mean the part where it's like, not only am I going to suffer because of what my plot is in life, but now I'm going to cause more suffering on myself by not taking care of myself, because that's how I should be as a Christian. You know what I mean? Like, taking care of your diet is not easy, right? But it's doable. Right? Taking care and stewarding over what God has given you, whether it is big or small, whether it is a depressed brain or just a brain that's stressed out a little bit this week. Like, he's still calling you to do that. And he's set up things in such a way where, like, your brain and your body will benefit from it, right? But even as you go into it, like, you're actually worshiping the Lord by taking care of these things.
You sure are.
It's crazy.
Jesus was the king of self-care. This is Jesus, okay?
Say that again.
Jesus was the king of self-care.
But he was the king of
glory. Jesus woke up in the morning and spent time with God. They're all like, they're three in one, but different, you know. But yeah, he went away to spend time with the Father. Mm-hmm. He's fully God and fully human. But he recognized as a human, he needed to also spend time with the Lord, right? Yes. He invited only three people to see him on the Mount of Transfiguration and those same three people at the Garden of Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. He knew he could trust those three to be supportive and loving. Granted, the three disciples were struggling at the Garden of Gethsemane because they were tired. But even Jesus understood what it was to have relational self-care.
Right.
Jesus worshiped the Lord. Jesus went by the pace of grace. He wasn't everywhere all of the time.
Right.
He didn't give everybody everything all of the time.
Right.
He understood the confines of his humanity and took care of himself accordingly so that he was able to do what God had called him to do.
Exactly.
Jesus suffered.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to endure that suffering, knowing the joy that was set before him, because he took care of himself.
Exactly.
And he spent copious amounts of time with the Lord
mm-hmm.
to be able to endure each day.
Yeah.
Worship is self-care.
Yeah.
Worship Simple is, as that.
That might be the name of the episode. Who knows? But yeah, worship is... Oh,
you're welcome.
That was really good. I'm glad I married you.
Listen, scripture.
Speaking of scripture.
It's a lot.
Speaking of scripture, I wanted to get into some. Can you read, since you took the Bible from me for some reason?
It's a nice Bible, y'all. It's a nice Bible. I'm sure they heard me, even though I stepped
First of all, please read Psalm 22. I think I want you to read verse 1, 2, and 3 for me.
Wait, okay. This is David.
It's your boy.
He understood a little bit about suffering and trusting the Lord through it.
Yep.
My God, why have you abandoned me?
Wow. Run it back. Whoa. Sorry, I couldn't help it.
This dude said, and I quote, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far from my deliverance and from my words of groaning? Wow, that just got personal. My God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. By night. I don't know why I said it like, by night. By night, yet I have no rest. Verse 3. But you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel.
I want you to pause right there. That is the scripture that is also translated, and we use to say that God inhabits the praises of his people. Right? I think about like...
I love that verse. Continue, please.
I think it's so important to recognize the fact that like, first of all, the Holy Spirit is always present, but I learned this Christianese word many, many years ago, manifest, like his manifest presence. So
yes.
It's less of, oh, God showed up today, and it's more of God really made himself known in the room today.
Everybody right? crying and falling
Everybody's
out.
Everybody's crying, falling
Worship
out.
Worship leaders are running back and forth on the stage.
White sheets came out. We're out of tissues. You know, it's just a mess.
Happy
right?
snot nose crying. Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. I love that because we've talked so much about the benefit of crying when we're struggling with our emotions and we feel like we're really stopped up. And sometimes we come into the presence of the Lord and sometimes we start crying and we don't know why we're crying. And sometimes we start crying because we know exactly why we're crying and we have not sung the entire service and we've just been chilling in the back trying to avoid feeling stuff. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be vulnerable. I was in the car. We were driving. And I was just frustrated. I'm like, God, I feel like I'm disappointed, not just in you, but like in the way, the direction that our lives are going. I want to take care of my family. I want my daughter to be okay, this, that, and the other, right?
My wife is crying.
It's like just a mess, right? And even though it wasn't a worship song that we would hear on Sunday, a song came on by an artist, and it just talked about the struggle of having faith. And the lyric said, faith is like a free fall sometimes. And it talked about how sometimes having faith is scary, but also being afraid in the middle of your faith journey is okay. And I just started bawling.
Yeah.
Not because everything was fixed, though. I was bawling because the song
captured exactly what I was feeling.
And I was able to kind of let go, right? And there are other songs that could do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know that other people listen to Beyonce's Lemonade for the same reason. They're just like, I went through the same thing, and now I'm crying, but now I feel a lot better. How much more important is it to have those opportunities to feel the presence of God and be like, yo, now I'm bawling. we sang Promises for the third Sunday in a row, and I'm bawling.
That's my song.
But then you're like, oh, shoot, not only did I cry it out to the Lord, but just in terms of emotional health and emotional wellness, I was able to externalize some of those feelings and not just push them down and suppress them.
And the difference between the Lord and Beyonce is the Lord will fill you up. You will get filled up. Holy Spirit lives inside of you, but there's just something about worshiping the Lord, crying it out. Like I said, it's like an outpouring of all the things that have been stuffed in me. And again, circumstances didn't change, but God's presence overtook you. You felt him close to you. You experienced the joy that is being in his presence. And then even though you're leaving and the situation hasn't changed, your perspective about the situation has changed because your perspective of God was put in its rightful place.
Yeah,
I would argue that oftentimes when we don't live a lifestyle of worship, it can get very difficult to remember how big and how powerful and how good our God is because we will often displace our circumstances or how our circumstances make us feel onto him.
Yep.
Like, I think it's honest. Like, God, I am disappointed in you. I am too.
You're allowed to say that.
I'm disappointed in you. And I'm struggling to believe this truth that I know about you. Put me in a worship service where God's presence comes. And I'm like, thank you, God. You're so good to me. What am I talking about? Mm-hmm. And it's not because what I felt wasn't valid. I just needed to express it in the right place, in the right context, somewhere where I could get the truth built back up in me.
Yep, the namesake
David
of
did it.
And the namesake of our whole thing, Job, he did it too. The reason why Job is honored the way that he is because he didn't do what his wife told him to do,
which was curse God
and then die.
Right.
Instead,
he shared his complaints.
Exactly. He shared his complaints. He cried out to the Lord. And you know what? He later on in the book, he argued with the Lord too.
Yeah.
He was like,
yeah, he did.
And God put him in his place.
And it was fine.
Right. I want to read another psalm. This is Psalm 27, verse 6. This one says, then my head will be high above my enemies around me. I will offer sacrifices in his tent with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. The word on there that I zoomed in on was the word sacrifice. There's a famous church song that says, we bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. There's also the scripture that says, sacrifice, reasonable service. Whoa, now I can't remember it.
Brothers and sisters, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
Yes.
Do not be conformed.
That's actually the next scripture. Let me not go to that one
yet.
My bad. Sometimes going into church is a sacrifice. It's a struggle. Sometimes you're at church and singing is a sacrifice is a struggle.
Praising on credit. Hence, praising on credit. It's a sacrifice.
Yeah. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to press in and sacrifice. Maybe you're at the level where it's like just turning on the live stream is hard enough, right? But I want to challenge you to sacrifice yourself a little bit. And I say that because I believe that happens for like a lot of acts of self-care that we want to take part in. Like there are some days where I physically do not want to go for a walk. I go for a walk almost every day with the baby out in nature, right? And some days I just don't want to do that.
I need to join you, by the way.
Okay. Well, you want to come with me tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right. She sounds so
because
excited.
I struggle with that too. But, because I also can't play tennis, which is my favorite form of self-care because of the accident.
Right. And that's the thing. Sometimes our favorite forms of self-care just aren't there. But I'm especially talking from a depression standpoint.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm depressed, we have a beautiful duvet. I want to cocoon myself in it and I want to somehow eat through it and not leave the room, right? And sometimes I have to sacrifice what my depression brain wants to get what my body actually needs, right? And I believe it's the same thing here. I believe when Sunday comes, or if you're somebody who is just going to watch a sermon on a Thursday, right? Or a worship service on a Thursday or whatever, sometimes you gotta sacrifice what your depressed brain or your anxious brain wants in that moment to get what your body and your spiritual man truly needs in that moment. And sometimes that's turning on the live stream. Sometimes you can sacrifice a little bit more and push your way to church. And sometimes you can sacrifice a little more, push your way to church and sing, even if you don't lift your hands. That's crazy, right? Because, you know, the worship leader, I'm always yelling at you, lift your hands, right? But all I'm saying is that God is seeing your sacrifice and he is honoring that. He is saying, yo, you pushed through and you showed up. I'm not going to shame you for that. I'm going to show up and be manifest in your life because you did that. I'm so proud of you and I love you.
It's giving come as you are.
That's that. And I believe that's what come as you are actually means.
It's not like clothing. It's like just come with the mess.
Right.
Come with the anger of the Lord. Come with the anger at other people. God's not intimidated by any of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying depend on people. Some people might be okay with helping you navigate it and have the capacity to do it. But God definitely, 100% every single time, does.
God wants you with him, even if you're angry, even if you're frustrated, even if you're depressed, even if you're anxious, even if you are dealing with OCD symptoms,
even if you're triggered,
even whatever it might be, he is not opening up his home and his space, the church building. He's not opening up his home and his space, your body, and saying you need to feel guilty and feel ashamed for feeling the way that you do.
That's not the gospel.
That is not the gospel.
It's a little different Old Testament, but Jesus came. Hello.
I'm just saying.
Hello. Okay. Can we praise God for Jesus? No, now, but for real.
Now you're being the church.
Not for real, because I was, you know, listening to the Bible Project about the Israelites, and I was like, they had to do a lot to atone for the sins that they did. Mm-hmm. But praise Jesus that all we got to do is show up, despite our sin, despite our shame, despite the anger, despite the guilt, despite what you might have done the night before to cope.
Yep.
God still is like, Jesus died for that. You're good. Come on in.
Yep.
That's it.
Come on.
I was just about to sing that, but I'm not a singer.
Oh, Lord.
And he's showing off again. You see, he's that was, low-key that was using this bad. To be like, hey.
That was pretty bad. Oh, no.
Okay. To see, somebody who's not a singer. I didn't go to music school. So, anyway.
Okay. I'm just letting you know. People on there, you're going to see a little background. We're going to skip number 5 just because, well, I don't know. I feel like we're running short on time. Oh, we can do it.
Oh, we can do
Let's
it.
Jump to it. Okay. I shared a little bit about like just my struggle with coming into church and worshiping when I'm depressed.
Especially worship leading.
And I think that that adds a unique little rub to it. There's a friend of mine. She's a fantastic worship leader. Like, it blows my mind how good she is. And not just because she can sing, because she can sing.
But she also really loves Jesus.
She loves like, Jesus actually. So much. That, like, it's my friend Diana Marie. I'm going to link her stuff down below as well. But we did a workshop, and she came, and she was sharing how sometimes mental health is difficult to navigate in the church, especially as a worship leader, as a person who's in charge of a ministry and is, like, front-facing a lot, because there's not a lot of discipleship there for them. There's not a lot of people who are actually like asking you, how are you? How's your mind? How are you worried about anything? And like really walking through life with you. And that's been true. Like my whole life, the people who have cared the most about me have been people who I was already in ministry with or was my mommy. That was it. And then I got married and then it was my wife and she does a great job of it, right? And
I'll be trying.
I mean, now I'm blessed that I have, you know, a small group of people around me who I reach out to and like, you know, we kind of talk pretty regularly. But I think about how difficult it was in the past to lead worship mm-hmm. as like a teenager or a young adult in a church full of like mature Christians and be leading these songs and doing ad libs and talking about the faithfulness of God and feeling guilty and ashamed for the fact that the morning of I didn't feel these songs were true for me, mm-hmm. right? Part of that came from just my own spiritual immaturity. You know, sometimes the promises of God, they are yea and amen, but like the attributes of God, they might not feel real to you in that moment, right? as an old man now, I know that God is who he says he is at all times, even if it doesn't feel like it in that moment, right? But at the time, I didn't know that. And I think that the thing that I had to learn was how to take time and praise the music, but also worship the whole lifestyle outside of just a Sunday. And I know that people talk about like how worship is a lifestyle and don't let Sunday be your only this, that, or the, you wouldn't only eat one day a week or twice a week, so don't open your Bible only on Sunday. But like there's so much truth to that, especially if you're somebody who is working at a church or ministering at a church. And that was what was true for me. Yeah, what ended up happening for me is that I had to spend time with God and worship in my room on my piano. I was playing guitar a whole lot. You know, you were there the whole time. I had to worship God. There are times I've cried in the living room playing guitar, just singing and worshiping. This is back when you were at work. And nobody was here. I was just like, I'm gonna play these songs, and then I start crying. But it's because I'm taking time, not just at church to worship, but I'm taking time to do it at home. And what that does is, because this is my quote-unquote safe space, I'm coming to God with what I got, right? And I'm getting more and more of that revelation that God is not ashamed of me, and he's not ascribing shame to me based on what I am feeling.
Yeah,
I saw this quote on Instagram, and this lady said, Jesus felt all of the feelings, right? Therefore, your feelings are not sin, because Jesus
never sinned.
Right?
Yes.
So I felt so much more free to engage with the Lord where I was. And that's really my big encouragement. I feel like I'm a broken record, but like that's really the part that I want to drill home. Like when you come into church or you're worshiping on your own at home, there is no guilt. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that means if schizophrenia is bothering you, if it is OCD, if it is bipolar, whatever it might be, whatever you are struggling with, that guilt and shame is a trick of the enemy. God has set things up in such a way where if you take time to encounter him, he is going to meet you there, and your situation might not change, but your perception of it will change. Whew.
Yeah, man. I wanted you to talk about the worship leading aspect, but it's you're finding intimacy with God on your own, because when you're worship leading, there's an expectation of you, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like I know sometimes during worship leading, you may cry, right? And it's not like super disruptive, because I feel like people often are ministered to when you cry, because then it's like, oh, I could just cry while I worship. I could give people, not gives people permission, but it just gives people a safe space, like, oh, if this is okay, the worship leader who is leading, who I would think is like the expert on worship at this moment, is doing it, then it's safe for me too. But it's interesting that because you do it in your own time with the Lord, there's an intimacy that you're engaging in. Mm-hmm. There's a release that you're able to have, so that when you do go to lead worship, you may or may not cry, depending, because you're like, me and God dealt with this. I'm here to just worship and serve the people. It changes the dynamics. Like, I feel like leaders especially need to prioritize your time with God, not spending time with God so that you know what to say when you are serving people.
Right.
Spend time with God for yourself. Mm-hmm. Do the self-care that you need to do. Because unfortunately, a caveat to this is, well, what if there are expectations of me as a minister, as a leader at church, and like I'm serving and I'm doing all these things, but I'm struggling with my own mental health. How do I worship when I have so many expectations set of me while I'm in the place of worship? It's like, this is why we say, do not limit your lifestyle of worship to a Sunday. Because oftentimes coming together in a church setting, yes, you do come to receive from the Lord and people serve you in that capacity. Yeah. But there's also an added benefit of worship through service, and how do you navigate that with mental illness? You make sure to get as much as you can with the Lord on your own so that when you are in positions, you're not giving out of so much of a deficit. It may still be, depending on how you're feeling and how bad the symptoms are, mm-hmm. but it won't be as much of a deficit. Like, you'll find a little bit more strength and a little bit more capacity to be able to move in that, which is, that's what it reminded me of. And me as a leader, I feel the same. Mm-hmm. Firm foundation promises have gotten me through months at this point.
Mm-hmm. And then before that, I think it was promises in Jaira.
Jaira, yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I was late. I was mad late on that.
It's fine. It's okay.
But it's because we're navigating a season where my anxiety is on the rise. You know, and I'm getting to the point where my anxiety is starting to funnel into, like, depressive symptoms where it's like I'm losing motivation. I'm losing energy. And I'm finding that I still have to hold on to, like, praise music now. Like, I need uplifting stuff. The anxiety, the high energy, the anxious thoughts, I'm like, I need to be reminded of who God is because my thoughts are rapid and they're telling me everything that's wrong. Now it's like I'm listening to praise, which is a little bit more upbeat because I need to be uplifted in the joy of the Lord more often. So I also, you know, have a playlist and I play songs depending on where I'm at. Mm-hmm. And having just an array of that. And I think church helps with that, too, because I don't be knowing songs until we sing
it. Yeah, Valerie don't know nothing.
Yeah, I don't.
Who's Fred Hammond?
I know he's a worship leader. But, yeah, so all to say, you want to make sure you find songs that really speak to you. And even if they're not in the worship category, I think the song that we were listening to
was not
technically
worship.
Like a worship song that you would sing on a Sunday.
It was a song by an artist, a Christian artist.
Right. So find the songs that really speak to what you're going through. That's why I love Andy Mineo. He puts words to experiences mm-hmm. that I've had. He's a hip-hop artist.
Never seen anybody cry to a rap song before.
Right, it's a hip-hop artist. Like, is this worship? Yes. For Valerie, it is because it is bringing awareness to my feelings and yep. what I'm going through and reminding me of the God that we serve yes. because Andy Mineo went through it too.
Yeah.
So definitely practical steps besides, you know, mm-hmm. taking a walk, you know, mm-hmm. taking a bath, eat some good food, hang out with friends, go to church. Curate a playlist of songs, if we're talking about worship specifically with music, that encourage you, that uplift you, that make you cry every time. That's fine. Whatever you got to do.
Yeah, there's no problem with having a I'm going to cry playlist.
You're right. But the Lord will meet you there.
But that's the piece. I think that find those songs that make you cry but are also by artists who are believers as well, right? Listen, I love me some Lizzie McAlpine. That's the white girl with the guitar. It's okay. Don't worry. That didn't narrow it down either, right?
Sure didn't. I'm like, who?
My sister knows who it is. And your sister knows who it is.
Of course she does.
But just because I cried at her song doesn't mean that it's going to be a huge benefit spiritually, right? The song that we heard today was a song called Faith by Chris Renzema. And that affected me spiritually.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so I would say, like, actually, I have a challenge. And this challenge I'm stealing from Jackie Hill Perry.
Uh-oh, it's not listening to secular music for 30 days, isn't it?
The challenge is, well, I was going to make it for 7 days, just for a week, because you want to make it 30 days, Valerie?
No.
Okay, let's do 7 days.
Okay.
7 days. 7 days of only listening to music by Christian artists. I am not going to say only worship music just because Christopher feels that there is a plethora and a plurality of musical types and musical styles that can speak to us. But the content is the piece that I want us to really dig into. Like, find those artists and those songs that really speak to you that are also like God breathed and add that to your playlist and let that be your playlist for the next, words are hard. Add that to your playlist and let that be your playlist for the next 7 days and purposefully listen to it, whether you're feeling super high highs or super low lows or super mid mids, right? Let that be the soundtrack of your life as you continue, right? Because I think that that's going to be really helpful, just having the wherewithal to purposefully try and encounter the Lord on a daily basis.
Right. And if it's hard for you to do it on your own, that's why we are part of a body.
Yeah.
There are sermons upon sermons, podcast upon podcast, yep. music and songs upon songs, where other people are singing praises to the Lord in whatever capacity, and you can use that to help remind yourself of the goodness of God if it's hard for you to do it on your own.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's okay to get prayed for. It's okay to sing songs or just listen to songs that you may not sing or you don't believe in right away. Just allow that person's ministering on your behalf to be the bridge between the gap. Words are hard.
If you are tormented, allow the person to be the David to your soul.
Thank you. That's it. And that's fine. I think God is delighted in that. I'm finding that God will often, if you're struggling to do it on your own, God will often use people.
God will absolutely. You're like ready for another biblical example? God will absolutely bring you an Aaron to help you hold your arms up, Moses.
Stinky armpits, Aaron. You know that was stinky. And they were in a war. You know how long? Sorry. But
that's
for real.
That's not where I was going.
I mean, but holding Moses' arms so that the Israelites could be victorious. That's not a glamorous job.
Right.
It's a sacrifice that Aaron had to make.
But it just speaks to the benefit of community as
well.
Yeah.
And your community is not just who you go to church with. We are part of a body that is global. Mm-hmm. So, listen, I have a friend who's Nigerian. She loves listening to her to some Nigerian sermons and Nigerian prayers and Nigeria prophecy. Because she thinks they don't play, which they don't, because they'd be understanding spiritual warfare, okay? But all to say, God has given us so many resources through his body, which we can glean from, which we can allow to pour into us. And lo and behold, after that, you'll be able to be like, okay, I think I can go to scripture and read it on my own. Like, I feel safe enough with the Lord through all of this to sit down with him and know that he's going to show up. You know, like, sometimes it's just that little nudge that you need from somebody else to do it on your own.
Yeah.
And it's helped me.
The last piece I'll say is just remember that worship is a lifestyle of devotion to the Lord. And sometimes that devotion looks like making yourself a one pot meal, but adding spinach to it and being a little bit healthier and taking better care of the body that God has given you. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to go get your nails done and get your cuticles pushed back. Maybe that's a thing that needs to happen. But even doing that, depending on what the purpose of it is, can be an act of worship. So absolutely. Take care of yourselves, people. Take care of yourselves.
Because
God wants you to take care of yourself.
And he wants to take care of you.
And he wants to show up in the way that you're taking care of yourself.
Amen.
You're partnering with him. I think I'm done now.
I'm done too.
Yeah. Hey, y'all. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. You can follow us on Instagram.
And at thejoeproject.co.
And that is also our website, thejoeproject.co. You can find out more information about like workshops that we're doing and other events on our website. I don't want to say that yet just because I haven't made the website page for it. I'm not going to say it yet.
Go on there anyway, though.
Go on there anyway. There's lots of stuff there for you to check out.
Or follow us on Instagram because we update that with everything we're doing as well.
Yep. Everything is there. And we love you. Thank you for listening. Peace. All right, I'm done.